Hello, this is Janet Gowan welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And as our regular listeners know, and I hope our new listeners will find out very soon, this is a constant presentation of wonderful guests who know how to live life beautifully, who know how to land butter side up, and who know how to express their gratitude in the form of love letters. And what better thing can you do for somebody to mail the memories and mail the love and mail sometimes even the distress and mail the hopes and mail the affection and the apology? And it's also a wonderful thing for us to do because we get to bathe in the positive, which is so healing. So I want to go to our guest right now, Joan Price, who is the author of a wonderful book that covers so much that it's hard to pin down, but it's called Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex. And Joan, would you please just give your website nice and slowly so people can find this?
Absolutely. www.joanprice.com.
JoanPrice.com.
Yes, and that links to my blog, nakedatourage.com, too.
Okay, so let me ask you about you. And you had mentioned before that you fell in love for the first time at 57.
Not for the first time, but for the best time.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's an important, yes.
Yeah, along our path, we do fall in love, and we may fall in love several times.
You're right.
But I did meet the love of my life.
That's what you had said, yes.
At age 57. He was 64, and we were both amazed that mm-hmm. we found each other and that it was so
How did
good.
You meet, and how did you find each other?
Well, I teach contemporary line dancing.
Oh!
And he had recently moved to the area and had been a dancer since the age of 2 and was looking for a new experience dancing. So he wandered into my class along with many others, and he never left.
How lovely!
You bet.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm just stunned at that. I didn't know you taught contemporary line dancing.
Yes.
Do you do that where?
I'm in Sonoma County.
Oh,
so
yes.
So I have two classes a week, two evenings a week in Sebastopol and one evening a week in Santa Rosa.
Okay.
And my website has all that.
Okay,
too.
Good.
Because it's the most fun you can have with both feet on the floor.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So talk about love and what that means, the love of your life. How is that different from a more ordinary love?
It's different. Well, I'll give you one very specific example.
Please.
Robert and I had both been living single for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And he had thought that although he was a very passionate man, his marriage had died many years ago, and he thought he would always be single from then on. I was always looking.
Is
I was
right?
always hoping.
Uh-huh.
But being an over 50-year-old woman, I felt invisible to men. And we can maybe talk about
I'd like to talk about that because you're such a vibrant, energetic person. I don't know how you could be invisible to anybody.
It seemed that way.
Uh-huh.
Maybe because we don't radiate those fertility messages anymore.
Oh, just because chemically, physically, we...
Maybe. I don't understand it, because I even would think at that time, I have so much to give. I have more to give at this time in my life than I ever have. I'm happier with myself. I'm living the life I love. Why is it I have to be alone, though?
Uh-huh. What did you come to
and
in that answer?
And what I came to is, how the heck do I know? But I'll do the things I love. And in fact, some of my friends would say, listen, you're never going to meet a man in a line dancing class, which is 97% women. And I said, but I love to dance. I'm going to do what I love.
Yes.
So I did. And when Robert came into my class, he wasn't looking for love. He was looking for dance.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and I looked at him. And as I put it in my first senior sex book, which is called Better Than I Ever Expected,
oh.
Straight Talk About Sex After 60,
uh-huh.
I tried to remember to breathe. I kept losing my place in the dance I was teaching because I could not take my eyes
oh, how
off this
wonderful.
Man. His
what a compliment to another human being that you actually physically lose your breath.
I just want to look at this man. And then when he started to dance, and by his grace and his mobile hips, he showed he is a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a first timer.
Mm-hmm.
And then later I learned he started dancing at the age of 2. He took tap dancing at 2. And later in life, he took modern dance and ballet, and he was a dancer his whole life.
Well, now, what do you have to say? I mean, I'm just watching your face and the excitement. I'm going to wish it were a television moment so people could see it, but you could just take my word. So what do you say about the people say, you know, all the good ones are taken, and why was he available at this particular time? What was his life about? Do you know, or can you tell us?
Oh, yeah. He was an artist, mm-hmm. a fairly well-known artist, Robert mm-hmm. Rice. His name differed from mine by one letter, which pissed the heck out of people when we started dating and when we got married. But he was a solitary man. He was fine in public. He was very good in public, in fact.
Was this his first marriage, you?
No, I was his second.
Oh, okay.
But when his marriage ended and he decided, well, this is the time for me to go off and become the artist I want to be. So part of what he did is he went off in the woods and lived for 2.5 years in a cabin with no running water except the creek outside, no electricity, and he just painted. He painted by
himself. So he was really by himself.
At that time, yeah.
Yes.
He had been up, he had had other relationships, mm-hmm. but at this certain point where he'd been doing all these jobs he didn't want to support the family or to support himself and painting when he had time, he said, I am an artist. Oh. I've got to paint.
Yes.
If not now, when?
You know, that sounds like a very lovely, it's like hitting the refresh button almost.
Yeah.
It's just a kind of a time to start over as
That's
a
right.
new person.
So he just decided, he thought he was going to take 6 months and just go off into, rent this cabin for 6 months, just paint, commune with nature, which was very important with him. And he ended up staying 2.5 years.
I see.
And did some of his most brilliant work.
Can we see that work someplace?
Yes, robertriceart.com.
RobertRiceArt.com. Okay, RobertRiceArt.com. I'm
yes.
going to go look for that later.
Good. Okay. And then when he decided it was time to come back to civilization, he got an arts administration job. He had done that before in Santa Rosa, and he came back in and just didn't know quite what he had been living in Mendocino in this cabin, so he wasn't that far. He knew Santa Rosa, but hadn't lived there. He got himself a cute little house to rent and started looking for a dance class. And then you think, okay, we met, we fell in love. No, I fell in lust.
I was going to ask. Okay, go ahead.
He fell in like with a class.
Okay.
And he told me later, yes, he found me attractive, but I was his teacher.
Oh, so that was a little bit daunting for him to approach.
Well, it just wasn't even anything he was looking at.
Well, let me ask you something. What do you, I mean, this I think is interesting. Well, it's interesting to me, but I think it's just interesting. So you see this man and it is lust and you are really attracted to him and you can't breathe. Now, how do you translate that into a conversation that turns into a lifetime?
It took.
In other words, who made the first move?
Oh, I made all the first moves.
I can see that. And what did you do? Let's give a tip to the women listening.
First, I had to just hope he came back. You know,
yes.
I couldn't very well find him in the parking lot and say, hey, you know what? You're doing anything later. I didn't feel that would be appropriate, although it was what I wanted to do. And so he did come back. And as he started coming back, I started just making conversation. Well, where did you learn to dance? And blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then over the months.
Oh, so it wasn't a fast thing.
Oh, no. I wish. Because, see, my motto has always been, the only problem with instant gratification is it takes too long.
Yeah.
And his motto was, anything worth doing is worth waiting for.
Uh-huh.
He was very contemplative. In many ways, we didn't even think we could be a match because these personalities.
And you talked about that?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But what started happening first is I would say, you know, you've been coming to class. I'd love to get to know you better. Would you like to take a walk after class?
Oh, you said that?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. That's a lovely thing to do because it's not real.
It's no pressure.
Exactly.
But it's just, you know, I want to know you, not I want you in my bed. Just
yes, and there's a big difference between an invitation and a demand somehow.
That's right.
Invitation's a lovely thing.
Yeah. And he said, oh, yeah, that would be nice. And so we'd go walking after class. Our class was in the evening. We just take walks at night. And we'd talk and talk, but it never seemed to get very personal. Mm-hmm. He would tell me about the English gardens he saw on his travel, and I wanted to, you know, get to but who are you?
Now, wait a minute. So you wanted to get to the...
To who he was.
And what do you
now?
Consider that? What are those things that you want to know that are more intimate than his garden?
I want to know emotional availability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to know you are single. You've told me that you're divorced. Are you available? Are you... Or maybe, are you gay? I didn't know.
Yeah, so how do you go about that?
I asked if he was dating, and he mm-hmm. said, oh, no, my art takes my life. And I would tell him a little more about myself, and he seemed very interested in me, but I did not sense any kind of attraction. And I thought, well, I want this man as my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so interesting. He's done so much. And I hadn't seen his art at that point. He had nothing on the internet, and this was, we met in 2000, and we started taking walks in 2001. So it was before everybody had all this public stuff mm-hmm. on the internet. And so we would walk, and then occasionally I would say, I heard this beautiful song, and I want to choreograph a line dance to it. Would you like to do that with me?
Oh, good. So you could lead to an activity that brought you together.
That used something he was familiar with, where we would be communicating in a different way.
In a physical way.
In a physical way.
Yes.
A body way.
Yes.
And that was so exciting to me.
Yes.
Because he would say, yeah, look at this move, might be right. He'd do this move, and I'd just go, could I just do
it on top of you? Right.
And so this went on for 9 months. And finally I decided nothing is going to happen unless I take the next move. I risk everything.
What'd you do?
So what I did, we were taking a walk, and I said, I am very attracted to you. And he said, well, I find you attractive too, but we don't need to rush anything, do we? And I thought, it's been 9 months.
Uh-huh. It's been 9 months and you're not 16.
That's right. And I said, well, no, of course we don't have to rush anything. I just wanted to get that out there.
Right.
Then I got back home, and I said, I'm going to have to just be more direct.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what not rushing anything means.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks we have all the time in the world.
Yes. Yes.
And so I wrote him an email. And part of it said, I would love to know what it feels like to dance with you without footwork.
Oh.
And I wrote a few paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
I actually quoted it in Better Than I Ever Expected. And I hovered over the send button. You can imagine.
Because mm-hmm.
you can't
mm-hmm.
pull it back.
That's right.
If I were mailing this, I could retrieve it from the mailbox. But it has to, it's either send or not. So I sent it. And then I waited.
How long?
Just an hour.
Oh, okay.
He answered right away. I knew when he was on his computer. He wasn't on his computer
mm-hmm.
a lot. I knew at night was when he checked in. And he wrote back and he said, I admire your courage. Don't worry. Because part of what I had said is, if you're not interested in this, I hope I haven't damaged our growing friendship.
Oh, good.
That's the most important thing to me.
Yes.
And he said, no, you didn't damage the friendship at all. But then he said, I don't get into sex casually. I want to really know a person first.
Double the man's value right there.
You know it.
Uh-huh.
And it. Let's just keep getting to know each other. I said, oh, wow. So he accepts me. He accepts my feelings.
And opens up the possibility.
He's not saying, well, you know, it just isn't going to work out. Can we just keep choreographing? And then I get another email. I've changed my mind.
Oh, which direction?
He says, it's been a long time for these old parts.
Oh.
Maybe it's time.
Oh, how nice.
And that was the beginning of 7 years together.
Oh, how lovely. Let me ask you something. Was that being at this stage in your life and his wanting to give the old parts another chance, what brought you to talking about senior sex?
It was our relationship that
uh-huh.
did. Because once it was 1 week before we were in bed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 days later, we took a walk after class, and we kissed
good.
In the moonlight
oh.
for hours.
Yes.
We kissed like teenagers.
Yes.
And then we made a date for
mm-hmm.
the following
mm-hmm.
Saturday at his house, and then
And
we did not know we'd fall in love, though.
Yes.
We thought, okay, we'll just explore this because we have this powerful connection,
mm-hmm.
and because this woman is lusting after this man.
What is, I mean, what is, isn't that kind of a nice partial definition of love? Powerful connection plus some lust.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
But once we were bonded in that way,
mm-hmm.
it was like everything opened for us to bond emotionally, romantically, dynamically in every way. And it was amazing. And the sexual part of the experience
mm-hmm.
blew both of us away.
Uh-huh.
Wow, we didn't know we could feel this way, respond this way, be this... this excited, this aroused, this fulfilled, this raring
uh-huh, uh-huh.
to go, this thinking about it all the time.
That's so
can't
nice.
Can't wait to be in your arms again at our age.
Well, yes.
And so that's why I decided to write Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60. I had been writing health and fitness
uh-huh.
for a dozen years.
I see.
And then 5 years later, I wrote Naked at Our
You know,
Age.
This is such a generous thing that you've done. I mean, I'm struck by this. Because if you look at this book, it's for those of you who would like to see you go to the website, it's very explicit
yes.
in many areas.
Yes.
And for those of you who are looking for that, for some real help and encouragement, it's wonderful. And for those of you who are not so comfortable with something very explicit, you can just go over those parts and read the parts that are having to do with emotional togetherness and grief and bonding and betrayal and loyalty.
Let me say something about explicit. Explicit means I do talk straight about
yes.
senior sex, the
yes.
sexual part of
uh-huh.
it. But I also want to say I don't use street language. And
oh, it's lovely.
Respectfully.
Yes, no, I understand
yeah,
that.
I don't know if a listener would know that or would think, oh, well, I'm getting this.
I'm glad you
thing.
Mentioned that because
yeah.
I think it's important for people to know as much as they can know before they go for a book.
Yeah.
But also, I noticed before when you started out and you were talking about Robert and you said something about it didn't feel appropriate.
Yeah.
And I thought your sense of appropriate is so lovely.
Well, I've been accused of not being quite appropriate.
Because of this?
Because of being so in your face, as
mm-hmm.
some people perceive it, about something that most people don't want to look at because of what I call the ick factor.
Well, that's why I'm saying this, because,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, which is younger generation, but it's also our generation,
mm-hmm.
where we say, oh, no, do you really have to, okay, so yeah, seniors are having sex. Do you really have to keep talking about it? And I say yes, because the questions aren't being answered.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the difference between the two books, can I say something about that?
Please.
That the first book, Better Than I Ever Expected, was written entirely to celebrate senior sex,
mm-hmm.
the joys of it,
mm-hmm.
the unimagined delights of it, with maybe 15% self-help if it wasn't going so well.
Mm-hmm.
But then when this book came out and it got a lot of media attention,
mm-hmm.
and people would say to me or write to me, well, you know, great that you're having such great sex, but I'm not. I'm
yes.
having these problems. And
oh.
they would tell me their problems because they felt, reading my book, that they had been in my bedroom in a way
uh-huh.
and that I had sat over the kitchen table talking to them about what was going on for me. And so they could just do that back to me. There was
mm-hmm.
this feeling
yes.
of immediate
yes.
connection where, yeah, I can tell you about my sex life.
Well, you apparently are easy to do that with because I, you know, when
apparently,
you, yes.
And so when I started hearing all of these questions, I thought, my gosh, I need to address these. I need to find answers for my readers. And I discovered the answers are out there. There are experts who know
mm-hmm.
that it isn't.
Yes, I see you've involved them in this book.
I involve 45 experts
yes.
in the next book and 135 reader stories. So the second book became a self-help guide for people who do want to get the spice back in their sex life, whether they're in a relationship or single.
Yes, and sometimes I would imagine this is good for people who are single and are hoping or planning.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it's a big pile of permission.
Yeah, because our sexual health isn't just the sex we have with a partner. And this is something that I had to, unfortunately, learn from first experience
mm-hmm.
because, for the listeners who don't know this, Robert died.
Mm-hmm.
7 years after our first kiss,
mm-hmm.
7 years to the day,
mm-hmm.
he died of cancer. And this was, as we record this in 2011, this was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot about
yes. being on your own with
being
it.
On my own again.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is really wonderful. So let me ask you, if you were to write a love letter right now, which I hope you will go home and do, and let's talk about love letters and journals, because I see you've got this gorgeous journal in your own handwriting.
Yes.
Which I think is critical. Our own handwriting is a beautiful thing.
The mind works differently. Because I've been a professional writer for, I don't know, 20-some years. And I write very easily on the computer. It seems to go straight from my brain.
Yes, because you can type as fast as you think.
Yeah. And so what I'm thinking, I'm looking at a split second later. But when I'm trying to record feelings and get deeper, dig into feelings, and let something come out that I may not even know is wanting to come out, it seems that longhand gives it a different kind of conduit.
Yes.
It's like it's putting it in a creek rather than
on
a train.
And you watch it. You watch your thoughts just lay out on that paper.
Yeah,
and maybe
it'll swirl in a little bit of a different direction, where if you put it in the jet stream, it doesn't have a choice. So I never really thought of it that way. But when I was in very, very the deepest of my grief, which was profound, and I do talk about that in the book too, so I don't shy away from any of this stuff, because it's all part of love and relationships, is you do lose someone, especially I'm 67,
mm-hmm.
and the people that I write for are 50, 60, 70, 80.
Yes.
And one of us will die first, unless we go together in some strange accident. So when I was trying to figure, I knew that I needed to longhand write. And so I picked up a journal and put it down, picked it up, because I think, well, what do I need to do here? I want to write memories of Robert to him like the love letters you talk about.
Yes.
But I also want to record my grief journey and figure that out as I go. And it seemed like doing both was counterproductive in a strange way. So I found a solution. I've never read this.
What?
Two journals.
Oh.
A grief journal. And a memory journal.
Yes.
So my memory journal, which is what I brought today, just to show you what I did, it's funny, this particular journal, it's a very beautiful bound book.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it for Robert because he would record thoughts, snippets of things he wanted to remember. I bought it on on a trip to the East Coast. I saw this in an art museum, and I thought, it's a beautiful journal. I'll buy it for Robert, and he loved it and never used it because he said, oh, it's too pretty to use.
Oh, so you're filling it with him.
And so I'm filling it with him.
Oh, yes.
And so that's the memory journal with, and once I started listening to your podcast, which I just love.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy you're doing this. I was thinking, well, this is what I'm doing is love letters.
Well, that's true. Now, let's just take a moment here. Because there's so many things that serve the same purpose as love letters in so many ways. And it's you on the paper. And of course, you know, your DNA is all over this thing. I mean, you're touching it. You may be holding it to your lips at certain points to kiss it, or holding it to your chest.
I do.
Or, yes, of course you do.
I tuck it in my blouse
sometimes. Of course you do.
Right against my, against my chest.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do that with love letters also.
Yes.
In addition to love letters, of course, which you don't have a chance to send to Robert right now, but for those who are listening, you've also run your tongue along the edge of the envelope in one beautiful, sexy move. You're sealing that thing shut with all your feelings in it. So, you know,
there's thought of that glue kiss as a
yes. And so you're all over that thing.
That's right.
But there's something about, I think, as beautiful as journals can be in so many ways, emotionally and creatively and spiritually and just fun, there's something about getting a letter that I think is such a gift in that pile of gunk that is now our daily mail.
Yes.
I mean, there was a time when people wrote letters because there was no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you do it only by choice.
Yes.
And it is an incredibly powerful choice to choose someone to get a love letter.
Do you think I should have propositioned him by letter instead of email?
Oh, I think email's great. But and also an email for something, for the position you were in, is trying to approach him.
Uh-huh.
An email is not quite as steamy. It's a little more distant.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it doesn't, and it's immediate.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to wait.
That's what I needed.
Yes.
I waited 9 months. It was time.
Email is wonderful. I mean, I love it. And it's just a love burst. But it's not a love letter.
But you know what? I have a folder of mm-hmm. love notes from Robert and from me to him.
Oh, good.
He thought it was silly that I kept them all. But then after, and he would say, you don't need to keep that. And you see, he was into the immediate in a way that when he created his art, when he had finished a painting, he was done with it.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, in a really strange way, he saw it as landfill.
Oh, okay.
He would even say that. He would say, okay, I want to do my good painting.
Because mm-hmm.
when he was done with it, that's the best I can do with this one. And look at what I did. I'm really proud of this.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's done. You know, I hope someone wants to buy it.
Well, that's a fair philosophy.
Yeah.
I've talked to a couple of people who have wanted to write love letters and then burn them.
Yeah.
Which, of course, just gives me a case of the hives. But
Robert would write me notes.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. Sometimes for no reason at all. And sometimes because he felt I needed it or he had something he wanted to tell.
Yes.
And I saved everything in his handwriting ever.
Yes,
even
in his handwriting.
Even on the back of laundry lists because he conserved paper.
And that, people, is the truth.
Yeah.
People,
on the back of shopping receipts.
Yes, people save things that are in handwriting.
But he always would laugh. He'd say, why are you saving all this stuff? I'll write you another.
Because it's you.
And then when he died and I was going through his desk,
mm-hmm.
He had all of mine.
Oh,
he had all
goodness.
Of my cards, all of my letters, all of my little notes.
Yes, because those are hard to let go because there's a little piece of your heart in every love letter you write. And people keep them. And sometimes they're found generations later by strangers, by the way. And isn't that a lovely gift to leave in the future?
I think so. I think
so. Who will you mail this to? When you write, maybe you'll even take parts of your journal and put them on paper and collect thoughts and send them to somebody.
Well, what I was thinking I wanted to do, and it's really your impetus that's mm-hmm. getting me there. Robert's son, grown son, he's in his 40s, he accepted me and was, both his children did, but only the son is nearby, the daughter's in the East Coast. And he helped me through Robert's death, although he was grieving mightily, too.
Yes.
And I was a basket case, and he would come and he helped me clean up the garage from moving, and he helped set up the memorial, and he was just a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And he would invite me to all the his family functions, and at first I would say, I don't think I can be in company. He'd say, it's okay. If you decide at the last minute, come. If you don't come. And I would often go and just be welcomed without any kind of push and pulling. And I have thanked him in person.
Mm-hmm.
I have thanked him by email. I think I want to write a love letter to Mitch Rice, Robert's son.
Does he have children?
Yes.
Okay. So here is the beautiful link into forever.
Ah.
Because, and what I love to do, I just think it's wonderful. And, you know, if you like it, fine. If you don't, you'll write however you want. But to write to Robert, but to send it to his son. Dear Robert, I am writing this to you, but I'm going to send it to your son because I want him to know more about how much I love you.
Oh, that's giving
something,
me chills.
Something like that. And then his children will find it, and they'll know something about his family and how their grandfather had the capacity for such a great love.
Wow.
I think that's just
that's
a gift into the future.
Brilliant.
And we still have letters, signed by Marie Antoinette. And,
yeah.
You know, letters last longer than videotapes that you can send, or DVDs, or CDs, or Blu-ray. It doesn't matter. Technology changes every year or so, and you can't play your Betamax tapes, and you can't buy something to play a VCR anymore. But your handwriting on good paper and good permanent ink will last for hundreds of years.
I want to give you an example of how you're absolutely right.
Please.
Thanks to the internet, I was able to let many people who loved Robert over his lifetime know where he had ended up and with me. I don't mean dying, but then also that he had died. And I heard from people he had touched in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman wrote to me, I bought a painting of his 15 years ago before I ever knew him. And I have to move, and I can't keep it.
Oh.
And I'm selling it. And she sent me a photo of it, and I said, I'm buying it.
Good.
And then she said, and would you like this? He wrote me a letter with it when I bought it.
Gosh, yes.
I said, yes.
Lose your breath all over again.
Yes, I love that letter. And it is so to see where who he was. He didn't know me. He didn't know what the future held.
So you get
him.
The gift of an extra part of him.
The gift of an extra part of him, and he's explaining, "I was doing this when this painting started, and here's what I was trying to do."
And you get one more thing that has felt the touch of his hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's wonderful. I want to thank you so much for doing this and talking about
it.
You and your life and love and you when you talked about not sending out whatever the right pheromones were after a certain age. But you see Zsa Zsa Gabor didn't have a problem. You know, you see women who just they give something out that is always welcoming. And there's something about being emotionally and sexually welcoming.
Yes.
That is wonderful.
Well, the way I see it now is that I was just being kept safe on my path to meeting Robert.
Yes. Oh,
so
good.
So getting involved with someone else at the time I was looking would have ended up being counterproductive. I might never have crossed paths with Robert or might not have been available at that time.
Sometimes you just have to think random.
Yeah. So it all worked. We end up where we need to end up.
Yes. Yes. And you're sharing it with people, and I think that is just wonderful. So again, give your website, please.
JoanPrice.com.
JoanPrice.com. And you'll have a chance to meet this wonderful woman you're now hearing. And I want to thank you again. It's been just a pleasure listening to you. And I want to say to our listeners and to the whole world, if I could, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion. So until next time, I'm just going to say goodbye. And I will see you later.